And we're recording.
I feel like I have to talk in a slightly deeper voice than normal, because normally we're recording a slightly different part of the day.
Yeah, we're recording. Well, I guess it doesn't matter for the audience, does it?
No, it doesn't matter. It just means that my voice is usually down here a little bit because, you know, I've only just got up in the morning. But
have you ever thought about why some voices are deep and some are not? I'm just wondering, you know, thumbs, yep, need those. Deep voice.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Yep. Well,
apart from voiceovers.
Well, we wouldn't have any voiceover dudes or radio announcers.
It would just be like one man, just, one desire.
Just not very effective, is it?
Jumanji.
Jumanji. This summer.
This summer.
And with that, we are into episode five.
Tahirua Torufa Rima.
Yeah, that's I don't know, but I mean, being the podcasting veteran that you are, Mr. Fleming.
We're still in honeymoon period.
I know. But
two dads, one honeymoon.
I don't know. It feels like an achievement that given the incredible demand on our time that we've managed to get this far.
It is one of those things that you should never take for granted.
Yep.
Doing things back to back.
Yep.
Like one-offs. I feel like the world is just built of one-offs.
Yeah.
You know, just one-off and we'll be sweet.
We'll just do that and it'll be awesome.
It's like, that's what long game means.
Yeah.
It means back to back to back to back.
Macro.
And trying to fit everything in. And it's exactly what we said when you arrived. It's like, for you to get here, the incredible amount of hustle to make a day work.
Yeah, that's just one thing. But it's cool. And I think, like, actual high fives. That was really...
We'll just... Can you add a sound effect then?
Yeah. It was like one of the... I caught my fingertips and, yeah, it's bad. Anyway.
Two dads. One high five.
One high five. But I think, it does. When you sort of stop and celebrate and go, wow, we managed to do that. And I think the mind boggles at how hard it's going to be to keep the ball rolling and just how far we want to take this crazy thing.
Can I give you like a little example though of how to make it not crazy? So I've publicly said, and I've said it to you, I take Propecia, right? Mm-hmm. I'm one of many men who in their 20s, it starts going,
yep,
you know, and in my mid 30s, I decided to give this pill a crack. Mm-hmm. And someone said, how much is it? And I said, it's $50 a month. And they're like, oh, you're going to take it forever. And I'm like, well, that's what we do with everything.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to stop buying deodorant.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not going to not brush my teeth. Just like add it to the list of things that I do every day.
And adjust accordingly.
Yeah. It's like nothing is, like we love that idea, eh? Like, okay, you take it for, I'll do it for 2 years and that's it, you know?
Yeah,
it's like a degree, you know? I'll do my degree and then I'm good. No, you're not, because learning's a lifelong thing, you know?
it's absolutely true. It is funny though, because I took a slightly different route to my follicle challengedness and I just developed a theory because... You know, it's no hiding the fact that statistically I've said it to basically everyone I meet because it's an excuse, but statistically I have quite a large head in comparison to other people. I've not yet come across someone who has a larger head. And so I just, instead of you went Propecia, I developed a silly backstory that said that I had the same number of hair follicles as a regular person, just distributed over a greater surface area. And that's why I have gaps.
I don't want to get caught up on this whole hair thing, but I feel like something clicks in the brain when you're like, okay, we're just going to shave this off, and I'm cool with it.
Yep, own it.
All I'm saying is that...
I do have to say, don't get me wrong, if I... I'm not into body modification.
Mm.
But if I had the opportunity to get one thing back, just the very act of being able, I probably would still shave my head. But having the option to not shave my head is something that is incredibly valuable to me that I probably won't ever get back.
Mm.
And it's just funny because it's Katie and I, my wife, talk about it all the time. Not all the time, but periodically. Every day, I just want my hair back.
Two dads, two bald heads.
Yeah, but it is funny. It is funny. And like you say, it's, how often do we just go after the quick fix? We want it. We want to fix the problem. We want to move on.
Oh, dude, it's not a symptom. It's a, what's the word? It's an epidemic, you know, where no one is prepared to do any short-term sacrifice for long-term gain, you know? It's kind of like, and those are deep-rooted things in our cultures and our beliefs, same.
Oh, exactly. And it's real interesting because we got some feedback in the community over the past couple of weeks, and one of the things that keeps coming up is this idea of dads dealing with and managing stress. And I think it's really interesting when you begin to think about how you frame stress in your life and go, how much of my stress comes from stop and preface it. A really wise person once said to me, it's the idea of frustration is unmet or incomplete goals. So frustration comes out of the fact that we set a goal, however big or small, in our day or in our life, and frustration creeps in when we are unable to complete that goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be either circumstantial, or it can be caused by people or whatever. And it's this idea of frustration is that. And if frustration is the precursor to stress, or frustration has a direct relationship with stress, is it too hard to kind of begin to make that connection back to this idea of actually being able to frame our life in a way that doesn't have these short-term fixes in play that cause us to get frustrated when we don't meet the goal and then inevitably get stressed? Does that all kind of connect up for you?
I wonder if that's the reason that we're not born as adults.
Mm.
You know, it's like an inbuilt reminder.
Yeah.
That it's, there is no short game.
No.
You know, what is anything brought into the world that's just like legit?
Ready to go.
Yeah. It seems really opposite with this whole kind of consumerist mindset, eh?
Mm.
Like there's, yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess you've had versions of phones, right? You know, it's like you had the Apple II or whatever it was, or the iPhone original.
Yeah.
Now they just look like grandpas.
Yeah.
But at the time,
it was the business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I guess I, yeah.
Do you think anyone else talks like this, Greg, or is it just us?
Probably.
I really hope people kind of like sit down there like, dude, what the hell are you talking about?
Well, I think what I'm hoping that people listen and go, wow, that internal dialogue that I have in my head is actually entirely reasonable, and heaven forbid, I might actually find someone that I can say it out loud to, because it's good. It's good to talk. I probably talk too much, though.
Well, to be fair, we both kind of find ourselves in scenarios where we're forced to kind of talk a lot, but that's not a bad thing. And I was thinking about, like, I saw a comment about Mike Puru online.
Mm-hmm.
So I've worked with Mike a little bit throughout my directing years, and someone commented that, you know, they said, put that man in front of any live scenario and he'll deliver.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not saying we're like Mike's, but
we want to be like Mike.
Hey, man, that should be like a marketing thing. Red Dead, sponsored by Gatorade. I like to pride ourselves of being, you know, people, dads, men, blokes, New Zealanders, humans, who put us in any scenario and we'll give it a crack.
We'll give it a good stab.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, see what happens. Like, that's exactly what happens with breakfast, you know? Like, we were on breakfast again, if you saw it, you know, cheers for watching. But we kind of had that realization that we had put in some hours making this all kind of work and doing some research and getting there and makeup for 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's quick fire 3 minutes as well.
Yeah, and so, but at the same time, if it was 8 minutes, we would have been good.
Mm.
And it's like, I love the fact that we are in the zone of, you know, simply, if you look through this as a father, as a parent, you can't help but just be okay with whatever comes.
Yeah.
Because there's no schedule for poos.
No.
You know, they just babies poo. And sometimes they squirt poo. Yeah. Sometimes it's constipation poo. And sometimes it's
vomit.
Exactly.
At the same time.
It can be vomit, wee, and poo.
Simultaneously.
And you are expected to deliver.
Yep.
And it's not 3 minutes. It might be 3 hours.
Or 3 days. Mind you, if it's 3 days, you should be going to the doctor.
True that. That's official.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I just, again, I'm excited by guys beginning to actually proudly wear that dad lens or those, you know, those dad glasses and see their world through just how much that they've got to offer. And again, coming back to this idea of stress, I think, you know, like a lot of guys, they have these massive expectations on themselves, but I just want to challenge the dads that are listening. Do you completely and fully realize, like Will said, the potential that you have to be awesome? And that's not some Tony Robbins, you know, personal power fluff. That's actually going, you've been in a situation where you are. You've got to play what's immediately in front of you and be really objective and just be able to just get on with doing what needs to be done.
Mm.
And I think it's really important that, if you are stressed at the moment or you're feeling the effects of being stressed, first and foremost, cut yourself a break. Give yourself enough space to step outside the bubble that is life and give that macro view. You know, we talked about the long game. Look at your stress from the perspective of the long game. What am I going to gain in the long run from being stressed about this now? Is there something that I can gain from this? Is it in fact even worth being stressed about? And again, I think like you've said before, I think you're just wrong. There's some really empowering stresses and anxieties that we can go through to keep ourselves on our toes and keep us sharp. But when they become overwhelming and enveloping and they take over and control and take you away from just how awesome we all know that you can be, like that's when you got to go, hold on a minute, we need to think about this a different way. Mm. And then, it's interesting. And I guess the other thing, it's always nice when you find things and like people that you respect talking about how to deal with stuff. And then you go, oh, I do that. That's good.
That's happening to me heaps at the moment. I've told you about that book I'm listening to called 12 Rules for Life from that Jordan Peterson fella. And like he keeps bringing things up and it keeps making super logical sense to me.
Mm.
And it's like, and one word I'd just review the book, it's one word, it's a reasonable book.
Mm.
And it's like these things, I have always felt that they're there, you know, that it's like my outlook on life is they're inbuilt in us and stress has to be part of it because that's what got us away from, you know, the boogeyman and the blimmin' whatever was chasing us, you know. And it's like, and I understand that it's so complicated at times. It's like the word love. It's the most simple thing, but try and articulate it and it becomes this, you know, Pythagoras theorem of, you know, equations and you just can't ever break it down because it's not something that science can explain, you know. I'm sure it can try, but at the end of the day, it's like Okay, now you've explained it in your theorem. Now teach a baby to do it.
Yeah.
So you can't even do that, you know, because the baby just does it. And it's like, I just think it's so polar opposites that it's so easy but so hard. And that's how life is for me. It's like everything is there, but at the same time, nothing's there. And it just makes you, you know, there's an incredible amount of confusion, I think, which is part of the human journey, you know. And and I would even argue that that's a good thing for us to have, because that makes you not complacent. You can't ever know, you know, what's going on everywhere. Because then you would have no reason. If you knew your kid was safe till they're 21, what would be the point of getting up when they cry? What would be the point of checking to make sure there's no cars before they cross the road?
Mystery plays an incredibly important part in our lives.
As it does as a parent too, right? It's like, far out. Let's just acknowledge that.
And how often do we get ourselves bent out of shape because we can't control or shape or understand mystery?
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, actually, sometimes it doesn't make you any less intelligent, any less a person that seeks to know and understand how the world works. But I think, I firmly believe that there's a time and place where you go, actually, I don't understand that. Yeah. And that's okay. It doesn't make me ignorant. It doesn't make me uninformed. And also the act of being able to not understand in the presence of your kids as well is actually really great. You know, I remember the first time I had to turn around and say to my kids, you know, I don't actually know. But there's this kind of inbuilt like, oh, okay, cool. That doesn't matter. That's not the end of the world. And how much do we build ourselves up as having to be these sort of oracles for our kids? It's like,
well, how much does everyone build everything up?
Yeah.
You know, like I was saying to you the other day, like the topic we went to TVNZ with was, you know, keeping your kids kind of safe or something in that zone on social media. And then I kind of said, well, you know, part of the problem here is that, you know, we're just two people. And it just looks like there's four people in that studio, but there's not, because Jack and Haley have a whole team. They have had someone write their show, go over their show, do the makeup, do the food, make sure they're mic'd. Like if any one of those pieces don't work, the show falls over. But the problem is it's portrayed as Jack and Haley. Why can't it be portrayed as a team of people? I think people would respond well to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's the fourth wall. And as long as we have that fourth wall up, and that's what my problem with social media is that, you know, don't post the pic where everything looks cool if it's not, because you don't have to. And you actually end up taking the mystery out. You know, that's actually what you're doing in those moments is you're forcing to, you're trading it in for now. You're saying, yeah, well, you know, I'd rather have some dopamine likes.
Yeah.
So, yep, I've had an awesome day. Sunset's going. You know, no acknowledgement of the big scrap me and my missus just had.
Yeah.
And selfies away, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, nah, man, maybe stay off for that night and think deeply in your room on your own for 10 minutes.
Say,
okay, I'm going to go brush my teeth. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say sorry, or I'm just going to do something different, you know?
So,
you know, simply that we couldn't even have a place where that is, like that feels right to me. I guarantee the dads listening to this will say that feels right to them. So what the heck, you know, who's running the ship where that's not the normal feeling? And I don't want to be on that ship. I want to be on the ship where people acknowledge their weaknesses and, you know, I'll just give you, sorry, I'm rambling, but my current kind of gig is filming video content at MIT, you know, doing some lecturing at MIT.
Just for clarities in
Massachusetts,
and legal clarification, that's the Monaco Institute of Technology.
I'm a professor at Massachusetts. Is it Institute?
Massachusetts Institute. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. You have to be careful. There is an arrangement in place that I'm aware of.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between the two organizations.
It's like while one's sleeping, the other can use it.
Yeah. Can't ever be in the same room at the same time.
My point was is that, like, I only have to engage in the areas that I really enjoy. And I'm not trying to say that that's how I live my life, to not challenge myself and just do things that are easy for me. But it's such a pleasure that the other day I could go up and talk to the CEO, the deputy CEO, and like all of these people who, you know, traditionally you wouldn't have a crack at talking to, and just engage with who I am, because I offer something they can't do and they offer something I can't do. Well, I probably could, but point being is that...
Watch this space.
Now, there's a legal matter. No, it's just, I don't really know where I'm going, but I guess what I'm saying is I'm prepared to give it all up to this mysteriousness. At the same time, embrace that that doesn't let you off the hook, that if at any time you kind of get confused about it, probably the best thing to do is look at it through the eyes of a parent. You know, just say that, oh, well, why have I got to get up today? Because they've got to get to school.
And don't ever lose sight of that value. It's such just such an important view of the world. And so I guess to stay on the whole mystery thing for a bit. Now here's a question for you. If I was to say, what's one thing that you wish you knew the answer to, but you don't, and you've become okay with that?
One thing I wish I knew the answer to. Okay. This might take us in a bit of a place, but it's all right. We're long game people. So I think if we talk to that really big scope of where I was talking before, one thing I'd like to know, wish I knew the answer to, but I'm happy I don't.
Okay.
Is that what you said?
No, I just wish you knew the answer to, but you've now reconciled the fact that you don't and you're okay with that.
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily happy with the fact that you don't know the answer, but you've gone, actually, I'm not ever going to really truly know.
Okay. So this is where I am today, but I don't know if I'll still be here, right? Because I'm a Rubik's Cube. Okay, I'm always moving. I wish I definitively knew that there was a plan in life.
Yeah.
A God, if you like, right? But I'm okay not knowing, because I think that's part of the puzzle. You know, I think that hold on, just let me, because I just want to make sure I get this right. Because What was I saying? So I wish I knew if there was a definitive plan for everything, because I thought for a long time, and if I put my dad hat on, I would never let my kids guess if I love them, right? I'd just say it to them. So in my head, I was just like, well, if there's like a divine being or something, just like take the guesswork out.
Yeah.
You know, there's still so much mystery. Like, don't do it through someone else telling me, like, hey, I love you. Bye. And then we're good. You know, because I expect that would be like that for my kids. It's like you can look at them, you can smell the line, whatever. But it's just like, hey, in case you forgot, I love you.
Yeah.
But I'm not at any point saying that that really changes my kind of outlook. And currently where I'm at, I'm like, well, I'm even more like, I don't know. Yeah. And so, but I'm kind of okay with that. And if anything, I'm in a way more like a spiritual place than I have ever been, because I've really said to myself, just don't grab too tightly onto anything apart from the things that feel right.
Yeah.
You know, listen for the bits that, and feel the bits that innately feel good. You know, so when you're skimming through things, look for common practices, you know, like that a lot of people share, like the you know, how it's, how most of us get it right. You know, how we, most of us love our kids properly, and most of us try our best to be good husbands or partners or whatever it is, you know, and trust that, of course, there's that human vulnerability, and, and some people can, you know, we've seen through history that some people can take the mantle and run with it in their own way and ruin it for a lot and scar a lot, you know, and traumatize a lot, meaning that, of course, everyone says, you know, I'm never giving back any of that control. So I'm super kind of relaxed in the fact that actually I don't know. And it makes me very micro look after myself, you know. Or when I say that, I mean just like try hard to get your own life in order.
Yeah.
And then, you know, every now and then push out a bit and have a wee look through everything. But at the same time, you know that if it was all up tomorrow, you'd be happy. You wouldn't have to settle too many scores, you know? So, yeah, that's kind of it's like that everything and nothing I was saying.
Yeah.
It's like the closer you look at love, the harder it is. It's actually better in some ways just to, like, remove the tension a bit and just love your kids, you know? Don't try and work out, why do I love that person, you know?
Well, it's, I guess it's that idea of the truest love is the love that expects nothing in return.
Yeah.
Yet why do we love in the first place?
Yeah.
We love because we want to feel loved. You know, and it's kind of, it's like that's a mysterious circle that rolls round and round and round inside itself. But, I mean, I just want to say I'm in awe of the fact that you can get to a place where you can be comfortable about that, you know? And that's cool. And
I just don't want to believe in nothing, you know? Otherwise, you'd really have, like, and others would say, no, there would be stuff to live for, but there really wouldn't be. Because, you know, all you say when you believe in nothing is you just take the mystery out. All we'd be trying to prove is that, you know, we're trying to prove the meat sack side of what love means at a biological level. But I'm like, it all has to work together.
And I think that that's one part that I, for one, find it really, really difficult, regardless of your view of the world. As a parent, it's really, really hard to hold your kids and to look at them and go, there's nothing else to this. Might, you know, to be able to break down your feelings that you have towards your kid into a series of chemical reactions and go, that's all it is. It's kind of depressing. You know, you go, really? You know, like, is this really it? But like you say, there's this, there's an inherent mystery that almost, it's the mystery that is the point, you know, and again, regardless of the, I guess the path that you choose to take, they call it faith for a reason because it requires a belief in the things unseen, unknown, untested, all of that kind of stuff.
I'd just say, like, you know, as dads, we're always trying to self-improve.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, to the divine something.
Yeah.
If he, she, whatever it is looking, just like, you know, you can tinker as well. And maybe in your, you know, so you've, if you've had one kid and it didn't go so well, you're going to try really hard because you've learned some stuff. Maybe there's a way to just, it'd be, in, for my mind, it's like you leave your kid to work it out themselves. And, you know, me and you know, with our little boys and girls and whatnot, that you can sleep well because you knew that. It's like I was at the dentist yesterday and, you know, the little fella was having a big cry, just had built up so much, you know. It's like he just thought there was this 10-foot needle about to just jam into his face, you know. And I was kind of examining it. I just said, dude, let's just see what the lady says. If it's a giant needle, you know, I'll call it off. I'll pick you up and I'll get you out of here.
Yeah.
And then she the nurse, the dentist lady talked to him and said, you know, I'm going to numb it first and I'll do this. Okay, so let's just take 2 minutes. You control your breathing. And I liked that although she took over, like I walked them through the door.
Yeah.
I could have stood at the door, But anyway, that's where my so it's a watch this space, because I don't really know what the space is, and like, and it's funny, we talked about stress, and what actually helps me deal with stress is you know, thinking about that mystery. It prompts you, you know, like occasionally I'll look at the stars and I'll be like, far out, you know. They're there all the time,
yeah.
Even when I'm trying to pay the bills or calling IRD or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, totally. And I think, I mean, I'm not going to, and I think that, and this is one of the cool, mysterious things is how you and I can be, you know, I'm making no bones of the fact that I have a probably a bit more of a formed view of things. And, you know, I guess I want to be bold enough to say publicly that if you're ever interested in understanding more of my view of that, talk to me in person. I don't like making a big deal out of that at a broadcast level. But I think the one thing that I find really, really, really liberating is in all of this discussion, regardless of where you land, if you can get to a place where you're able to acknowledge that despite the fact that your existence as a parent is so intense, you're so involved at a micro level in your day-to-day and your kids' lives and all the rest of it. But if you can acknowledge and get to that point where you use parenting as a journey to go, actually, I'm not the center of the universe. This is bigger than me. This is not just about me. I'm not the single reference point in all of this. Mm. It's incredibly liberating, especially when you begin to unpack and go into that, I guess, that slightly more spiritual realm of trying to understand the mystery and the whys and the hows and all the rest of it. And it's this whole new perspective. As soon as it's not about me and what I can get out of this transaction that I might have with other people or with this other being or deity or whatever, and it's actually about something bigger than that, It takes on a whole new perspective as well. And again, I think even coming back to, you know, I preface everything with that idea that I acknowledge that people are going to be in different spaces and different views. But coming back to stress as well, I think, again, it's that whole thing of how do you take yourself out of the situation? How do you make this less about you? You know, how do you acknowledge that the person that might be causing you stress, how do you get inside their head and go, and where have they come from? What's going on in their life? Are they moving house? Did they have an argument with their significant other before they came to me? Are they getting it in the neck from the board about whatever? And it might not change anything, but it might change everything in that same moment as well, because you go, this is not just about me and my view of the world. And it's just, I don't know. I feel like I'm beginning to get that. And again, it's just so liberating. It's not to say I don't get stressed about stuff. That's a complete and utter lie to believe that I don't. But in terms of dealing with it, I think that's really, really, really helpful.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was a bit of a meandering one today.
Yeah, but that's what conversations are, eh?
Yeah, exactly. You
know, it just happens that we're recording them.
Mm.
But I also think that it's the right level for others out there to be listening, because the only thing we're really selling on this platform is the idea of being a dad. And fortunately and unfortunately, that includes all of us.
Mm.
And that includes all of our tastes, all of our likes, all of our dislikes, all of our beliefs, all of our flaws, all of our combined skill sets, you know. And it's a real interesting concept when you pull us together with – you know, something that we created.
Oh, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally. And I guess I do want to say as well, because it is really easy to, when we have these types of conversations, to end up pushing the likes of the people who have found a view of the world to be in a very ordered and explained kind of way, that somehow they get pushed to the outer. If that is you, I would love to engage and understand and And just get into that dialogue of we might not be able to necessarily both agree on the mystery of how the world works, but I think it's fair to say that I want to be able to agree on the mystery of us being able to be in different headspaces about our view of the world, and that's okay, because I think regardless of that, the both of us can learn so much and grow so much from that dialogue. So just to make sure that that's covered away as well.
In that book, 12 Rules for Life, he talks about the idea of we're in this kind of generation of I want to change the world.
Mm.
And a bit that really relates to Rad Dads, as he says, he's got a bit that says, get your house in order.
Mm.
So sort out your affairs first, you know, pay your bills, do all that stuff. Once you're done, then go out there and see if you can help someone else, i.e. fix the world.
Mm.
But you'll actually fix the world when you just start with yourself, you know, and getting your stuff legit. It's what I was saying about don't post to social that you're happy when you're not, you know. Actually be happy, then post about that happiness.
Yeah.
And that will actually contribute.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Rad Dads is, you know. It's like when I look at me and you, like I was saying at the start, for us to make this recording happen, so much has to go into it, you know. We've got, you know, you talked about your day, I've got my day, and we both collide at this time to force this through, you know. And it's like I'm super happy to be doing that with you, because we could be forcing a number of things through, you know. Kind of like good stuff, bad stuff, or work stuff, and mostly work stuff, right? It's like, yeah. I said to Moni today, my wife, I was like, remember when I used to work 10 hours a day and we still were happy? But it's like, you know, because we survive, you just do stuff. But now we've actually got time, hopefully. Well, we still make time, particularly me and you, to push this Rad Dads thing through. So it's like super important for me. Just when I say get your house in order, for us, it's like talk about being good dads, be good dads. Go out there and meet other good dads. And once we have a feeling that, you know, dads have a bit of rep in New Zealand and we're going well again, not that we never went well, but you know what I mean. Yeah, let's talk about kids. Let's talk about mums, you know.
Encourage good dads.
Yeah, just like pick your area. Like if you're a mum listening, start Rad Mums.
Mm.
You know, get those mums together and go on breakfast.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, it's that age old adage. It's cliche for a reason. How do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, that brings episode 5 to a close. We do want to say, continue to get involved in the conversation. We really, really love it when we see people pop up, and just being able to, like I say, conversation is the key word. This isn't a place that's meant to have necessarily all the answers, but it's meant to be able to offer people some solidarity in this crazy thing that is fatherhood and the journey. If you haven't already, like our Facebook page, Rad Dads NZ, send any feedback that you've got through to raddadsnewzealand@gmail.com. Otherwise, is much happening in the Instagram space at the moment? It's pretty quiet, isn't it?
No, but they should jump on your kids' Instagrams, because you're reasonably active there, eh?
Yeah. So if you want to keep abreast of
a moat,
what our little team Buckley is up to, check out Jack Tamati Buckley, Molly Aroha Buckley, Ruby Racer Buckley, and Luke Bam Bam Buckley on Instagram. We will be looking at trying to get a bit of a strategy and some Instagram haps happening, but yeah, get involved and let's keep talking about this crazy thing called life. Until the next time, in the next meandering wander through all of that is good with the world and bad and indifferent, we say to you, good night.
Kia ora.